Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
So, yeah, if anyone who's wondering who on earth this face is or who I am, I'm Aaron. I work down in London with the London Hub, which is headed up by Jamie and Teresa. My job is to train young people in evangelism. It's awesome. We basically take the, for advanced youth, we take the principles of advanced, the movement, the five kind of core principles, and we apply that into the context of working with young people. So we will train in evangelism, we'll do evangelism with them, we will do mission with them, we will encourage them to set up mission teams in schools, Christian unions that we don't run, they run, we just kind of coach them through it. Really believe in peer-to-peer evangelism, really seeing young people lead young people to Jesus. My heart is I want to see, I really want to raise the next generation of church to be the most evangelistic missional church that the UK has ever seen. That's really my heart. I'm going to be looking at Psalm 84. So if you've got a Bible, it'd be great if you could turn to it. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. Just the version I like. So yeah, if you could turn to it and we'll read and then I'll pray and then we'll... I just really want to share two thoughts from... On our way, Hannah Owens went to Aberdeen Uni. Poor you. You survived too, which is good. Psalm 84. And then I'll pray. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. I'm just going to pray. Yeah, Father God, I want to just come before you this morning and I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would illuminate these words, that they would become living words for us this morning, that the word that cuts deep would cut us deep, that we would be changed and transformed by these words. Holy Spirit, come and be with us wherever we are, in our beds, in our living rooms, in our kitchens, on the toilet, Lord, wherever we find ourselves watching this, Lord, I pray that you would draw near as we draw near to you. We have need of you this morning, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Psalm 84 is this this beautiful recognition of our absolute and utter dependency on the presence of God, our dire need for him. We were created for God. We were created to be with God as human beings. We are designed to be in the presence of God. It's no surprise that the psalmist writes like he does, my flesh cry out for the living God. And as the psalmist writes this, you hear his own deep desire for the presence of God, not for blessing. He's not looking for, hey, God, I need this thing from you, or I'm looking for this breakthrough, I'm looking for this miracle. He's simply looking and yearning for the presence of the living God and his dwelling place. The psalmist has come to that point of realization that God is his reward. There's that beautiful promise in Genesis 15 that Abraham, that God promises Abraham. He says, don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. Isn't that beautiful that God has committed himself to us as our reward? Our reward is God. He is the end goal. God is not simply, Jesus is not simply some ticket into heaven, but rather he is the main show, right? He's the one that will be glorified. Everything else will be made low. Every name will be made low. The message won't be a name in heaven. Aaron won't be a name in heaven that is spoken about. It will be God himself, and there will be zero separation between us. Nothing in between. That we are designed for the presence of God. God is our great reward. Jesus didn't simply die just to forgive our sin. We were freed from sin, correct, but we were freed for God, to be with him. The story, the narrative of the Bible is really pretty simple. In the beginning, God created man and he wants to dwell with them, but man in his rebellion, or humanity in their rebellion, move away from that and are removed from the presence of God, the Garden of Eden. But the story is of a God pursuing, passionately pursuing a people, fashioning a people after himself, that by the end of it all in Revelation, it says that, and I will be their God and they will be my people. My tabernacle, my dwelling place is now amongst men. We are designed to be with God, in the presence of God. That was the heart behind it all. God rewards those who seek him, and it's important that we acknowledge that God is a rewarding God for sure, but there's no greater reward that he can give than himself. We have to understand that when the psalmist writes this, he's away from the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle of God, the place of meeting where the people would go to meet with God. He was away from that. He's yearning to be close to it again. He's jealous of the birds, the sparrows that can make their nest in the temple of God, because a lot of parts of the portion of the temple of God would have been open air, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And he's envious of those birds. But it's different for us. As New Testament believers, we know this. The day of Pentecost came, the promise of the Old Testament that God would pour out his spirit on all flesh, it arrived at the day of Pentecost. And now the veil was torn, and it's actually an ability for us to access the presence of God. We are in a different position than what the psalmist writes about. We actually are invited into the presence of God. More than that, God actually, it's not that we enter into the dwelling place of God. God entered us. We became the dwelling place of God. How awesome is that? How cool is that? And I wonder if we have grown accustomed to, or have grown dim to, that reality. That now when we get into the presence of God, it is for a miracle. It's for a breakthrough. It's for something. God, give me something. I'm getting married in August, as I said, and I'm assured there's benefits to marriage. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking forward to a couple of them, you know? Gotta be honest, I'm looking forward to some of the benefits of marriage. But the truth is, I'm not marrying Sophia for the benefits. I'm marrying Sophia for Sophia. I want to be with the person. Has God become about the benefits? Or is he still number one? Is it still about him? When was the last time you spent time with God to just spend time with God? Not for something, not even for ministry purposes. Just you and him. That you acknowledge that price, that precious gift that the cross brought. And I think we've got to be careful, even as the message, as those in ministry, that our pursuit of God is not just for the ministry. It can't just be for the ministry. I wonder, the danger is that in our pursuit of the lost, we lose our pursuit of God. I'll say that again, that in our pursuit of the lost, have we lost our pursuit of God? Have you lost your pursuit of God? Because if you have, you need to get it back. This is a perfect time to get it back in this season, in this hour, during this pandemic. Do not lose your pursuit of God. Can you align? Do you feel the words of the psalmist when he says, my soul and flesh cry out for the living God? When was the last time you felt that? When was the last time you experienced that level of deep yearning for God? Can you agree with these words? And if not, then perhaps I'd encourage you after this, that this morning you need to carve some time out for God. In our pursuit of the lost, let us not lose our pursuit of God. That's the kind of first point that I really want to make this morning. And the second point, and I'm going to really jump here, a bit left field, so forgive me for that, but as I read the psalm and as I prepared for it, I just felt the conviction of God, really, and the weight of God to speak on this. So it's not with, I don't speak about this lightly. I don't go into this lightly. But when I read this, when I was reading the Psalms, Psalm 84 in particular, verses 5 through to 7, God, I just really felt I want to speak into another epidemic of our time in this age. That epidemic is racism. I really feel like I just want to speak into that this morning, and it's been highlighted because of the, in our culture and in our time, because of the murder of George Floyd, the murder of Ahmaud Arbery and others. It is not something that has, it's not something that is new, it is old, but it has now been elevated to the surface, and I think it would be, I just feel like the Lord is pressing on me to just talk a little bit into it this morning, particularly from verses 5 to 7. It says this in Psalm 84, verses 5 to 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Pilgrimages aren't really something we do anymore, but it was something that was done by the Jewish people. And very often they would have to kind of traverse the difficult terrain surrounding Jerusalem to get there. And when the psalmist talks about the Valley of Baca, he's not actually talking about a geographical place. The Valley of Baca doesn't exist as a geographical valley. It's a metaphor. It's difficult to translate, partly because the verb Baca means to weep. So some translations will put it as the Valley of Weeping. But it also means balsam, which is a tree that is known for its sap weeping. And they grow in very dry, arid places. And so the psalmist is evoking this image of this difficult, awkward, suffering place of weeping that actually those who have set their heart on the godly, those who have set their face toward Jerusalem, those who have set their face towards God, are those who have to traverse the difficult terrain and go through some suffering and even draw near to it out of choice in order to get to that which is godly. And it reminded me of Jesus' last pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We read about it in Luke 19. Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. He was traveling to Jerusalem with his disciples, with his friends. And he was heading to his death, to his execution, to his crucifixion. And as he heads there, we read, and I want to turn to Luke 19. And it says this. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, as Jesus approached Zion, right, on his pilgrimage, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Listen to that, he wept over the city. And then what does he go and do? Well, we jump down to verse 45. The next thing we see him do here is then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. We get the story of Jesus driving out the injustice that was found in the temple courts, in his father's house, in his beloved city. But he went through the valley of Baca first. Jesus knew what it was to weep before he called out the injustice in a city. He knew what it was to traverse the valley of Baca, the place of weeping, of difficulty, of suffering, before he laid hold of those tables of injustice and flipped them over. And you and I have a responsibility that in the face of an injustice like racism, a sin like racism that is not just prevalent in America, it is also prevalent here in the UK, in our cities, in our towns, perhaps even in our own hearts, that we have to be those who are willing to traverse the valley of Baca before we lay hold of the tables of injustice and flip them over. And I just want to just simply say three things that what that looks like for us. What does that mean to traverse the valley of weeping in or in the pursuit of something godly or the eradication of racism? It is this. I want to say three things into it. We first have to learn to listen. We have to listen. We must be a people who listen. To hear the harrowing stories of your black friends who have suffered racism. To hear the harrowing stories of people like George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery or whoever it might be, to listen to the stories and not to question, but just to listen and be impacted by them and allow it to shift, to allow it to move your heart. To go through that difficult terrain is awkward, but it's important that we sit with that discomfort for a while. To hear and listen, to listen to the stories. We must also be a people who learn. That we would learn about the history of racism in this country, the history of the enslavement of black people, that we would learn what the terms that are being like white privilege, what does that mean? That we would be informed, but an informed people, not an ignorant people. And as we listen and as we learn, we must be a people who lament, who weep, who cry, who draw near to those that are suffering. And the reality is there are people, that our black brothers and sisters are weeping, they are suffering, they're hurting, there's pain. And it would be ridiculous of us to not draw near to that pain. It would be cruel of us to not draw near to that suffering and that hurt and that pain and listen and learn and lament with them, to traverse the valley of Baca in order that maybe together we would be able to lay hold of the tables of injustice and racism, and with Jesus at the center of it all in his church, we'd be able to flip those tables over, to see racism on its heels, to address it in our churches, in our cities, in our own hearts. It's not okay to be okay. We're good at it, the message. It's something we do, it's something we're good at. We don't just say something's wrong, right? We take action on that thing. We see the top 10 most deprived communities, and what do? We move into the neighborhood. Well, maybe this is an opportunity for us to move into the neighborhood, to move into the suffering, to draw near and listen and learn and lament. of our black brothers and sisters. We do it with the prison ministry. We don't just accept the fact that the reoffending rate is so high. We do something about it. And so can I encourage you this morning to take the time to be willing to traverse the valley of weeping, to listen, to learn, to lament, in order that we can lay hands together on those tables of racism and injustice and see it eradicated. Christ died for a unified church, and there cannot be unity whilst justice favours one side. We want a unified church. Christ died for a unified body. Let us be a people who traverse the valley of Baca, set towards godliness and holiness and righteousness and unity and love. I'm going to pray now, and then we'll pray about a few other things maybe. Father God, racism is a sin. It's wrong. Father God, I pray that we would look inward first to pray that prayer of David. Search me and know me. Find any crooked way in me, any offensive way in me. Father God, if there's any racism that exists in my heart, in my mind, in my thinking, Holy Spirit, would you expose that? It's not enough to just pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. I've got to be someone who moves toward that which breaks your heart. Racism breaks your heart. Father God, I pray that we would be a people who are willing to learn, to listen and to lament in our pursuit of God. Lord, I pray that as the message, as we pursue the lost, that we wouldn't lose our pursuit of God either. Lord, if anything I've said comes from a wrong place this morning, I pray that it would fall on deaf ears. But if you've spoken this morning, I pray that it would cut deep. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you did for us at the cross. Would we never take it for granted? Amen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. We also have another podcast called The Flow Podcast, where we share stories and testimonies of the amazing things that God's doing in people's lives. Search for The Flow Podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. There's a brand new episode there right now.